We want to show we respect his standing as High Champion.
Yes, sir.
Davis nodded.
This is the meeting you were waiting for?
As discussed. Gregory nodded. He'd passed word to the lieutenants as discreetly as he could when he was absolutely sure he wasn't being observed.
Very well, Greg.
I'll be doing the peaceful fist with Rudit after the briefing. I believe it's Clover's day to lead.
It is!
Clover beamed.
We'll get the men to the yard,
Jason said. Gregory excused himself from the table. He was thinking over the request he'd make while he and his wife spoke with Ragnar and Vera. Davis had been antsy about it, but trusted Gregory to know the future. Holding back that he couldn't actually see the future for the day hadn't sat right with him, but it was for the best. The topics would be too sensitive for anyone to be nearby.
Good morning, Makar.
Gregory greeted Rudit's son and assistant.
Good morning, Gregory. Can I have a moment?
Gregory paused beside the desk.
Of course.
Makar looked thoughtful, then started slowly, as if carefully choosing his words.
The hypothetical question a few days ago. If I was correct on it being one of the staff your family brought with you, how upset would you be if I agreed?
Not at all. I'd be very happy for both of you.
Oh, very well. I think a talk with Mother this morning is in order.
You've already decided?
Gregory asked, shocked at the speed of it.
Oh, no, but I want to broach the topic of me settling down and starting a family after this posting.
Oh, because if you do agree, you don't want to take them back into the Empire?
Makar met Gregory's eyes.
Would you?
No. That's why I worry about Basil and Dot.
Yes. With his age day coming up this year, that is a concern. If he's a Magi, that would strain their budding relationship.
It's a concern for them. I should get going or she might get upset with me.
Yes, of course. Thank you for your answer.
Gregory hesitated a second.
She took the news as well as she could. And she still seemed interested, even after being told. I won't deny that it's one of the women my family brought with us.
That's good. I won't act rashly.
Gregory gave Makar a nod before heading into Rudit's office.
Good morning, Rudit.
Ah, a relaxed meeting. That bodes well for today.
Nothing to disturb the running of the embassy today, Gregory said.
And your meeting?
Much like my fight with him, Gregory sighed. However, I fully believe everything will work out.
Your precautions are admirable. It will be interesting to see what the listener does.
Gregory felt a brush of resonance from Rudit and brought up Aether's sight. His brief gaze saw the forming of a wind user's magic form on the patio door. He met Rudit's eyes, giving a small nod.
Shall we do the peaceful fist, Ambassador?
That does sound good, Pettit.
Rudit's smirk was knowing when she stood up.
I went over your report from your visit to the Elven Embassy.
I hope it was in order, ma'am.
It was. Your observations on their defenses had merit. Attacking a group of elves anywhere near foliage is something even grandmasters have regretted. Now that you're a Magus, you should look up the ill-fated attempt to invade the Northern Woods just before the end of the Second War by Grandmaster Firebreath.
I'll do my best to remember that when I return to the Empire after this posting.
The second part of your report, though. That was disgraceful, Pettit. A mythical valley filled with the supposed spirit lotuses. You're not capable of espionage if you believe that for even a moment. The only saving grace is that you gave them nothing of merit in return.
Gregory took up the first stance of the peaceful fist.
I understand, ma'am.
It matters not. The report was sent, but know that you will not be viewed highly for it.
Yes, ma'am. Will my other accomplishments help offset it?
The pair began to flow through the katas of the peaceful fist as they continued to talk.
Perhaps. If you bested their High Champion, then yes. But with you losing after he'd already defeated your wife... Perhaps. Only the Emperor could say for sure.
Understood, ma'am.
Good. Now let us continue the forms in silence.
Gregory dipped his head as he switched forms. Chapter 11. The family waited in the front parlor until it was time to go greet their guests. A little anxiety had crept in, but they were just nervous, not panicked. Meeting two gods reborn would do that to anyone, even if their husband was one too.
It's time, Gregory said when he stood up. At least I can see the close future enough to make it work.
If you couldn't, you'd have a rougher fight, Jen said.
That's true.
The seven magi left the embassy for the front gates. They came in from an oblique angle, as Gregory was trying to time their arrival to be just after Ragnar and his sister reached the men.
High Champion Ragnar Iverson. It is an honor, sir,
Davis was saying as the magi approached.
Who is the lady with you?
My sister, Verka Moha daughter, Lieutenant,
Ragnar replied.
A pleasure, miss,
Davis said.
Sergeant Milton, open the gate. I'll go inform magi, your guests.
Davis trailed off, changing his phrasing when he saw them already there.
Thank you, Davis, Gregory said.
Ragnar and Verka waited for the gate to open, giving the family plenty of time to take in the pair. Ragnar was a massive man, standing nearly 7 feet tall with wide, heavily muscled shoulders. His red hair and dark blue eyes stood out against his tanned skin. His sister was almost his equal, standing just a half foot shorter. She was also broad across the shoulders, though she wasn't quite as heavily muscled as her brother. She was still built strong. Her dark blue eyes looked dull, like they had a white film covering them. Her eyes would have been her most notable feature if not for the 15-inch antlers cresting from her red hair.
Ragnar, Verka, welcome to the embassy, Gregory said. Please, come in as guests and hopefully as friends.
Thank you, Gregory,
Ragnar said. He guided his sister inside, her hand hooking to hold his elbow.
Before we talk, I was hoping we could spar.
I had the yard cleared so we could, Gregory said. Follow me, please.
If you're going to fight, maybe we can escort your sister? Mindy asked.
I would like that, Verka said softly. She let go of Ragnar's arm, holding her hand out. I can't make out which of you said it, though, so please take my hand. Gregory and the others felt the brush of resonance wash over them when Verka spoke, letting them know that she was Aether-blessed. Most of them wondered what magic she had a moment later.
I have you, Mindy said, taking Verka's hand. I'm Mindy, a healer.
Verka's smile was bright.
Wonderful! Every family is better with a healer who loves them.
Ragnar glanced at his sister before exhaling slowly.
Very well. Gregory, after you.
Gregory started walking again as they'd all stopped.
Greg. My friends call me Greg.
Very well, Greg,
Ragnar said.
I have no abbreviation of my name that I would enjoy.
I was surprised it took you this long to come over.
I had many meetings with the council,
Ragnar said.
You had your own meetings to attend, didn't you? I heard that the ambassadors were eager to speak with you.
Yeah, they wanted to know about my adept posting in the Northern Wilds.
I'd be interested to hear it too, but later, after we test ourselves.
It'll be just weapons skill,
Gregory told Ragnar as they rounded the edge of the manor toward the training yard.
As little as you might like that, we don't want to destroy the embassy.
Ragnar laughed.
You might not want to, you mean? Many of my people would be all too happy to pull this building down.
Well, hopefully less of them do, at least for the next few years.
That is true. Aether's Guard has shown the people of Kroga that some magi can be honorable. I hope your clan does as it says and stands with Aether when he returns. Aether will not be pleased with what your emperor has done.
Gregory gave Ragnar a look.
Aether returning is something everyone in my clan believes in. As for standing with him, of course we will. No matter what Aether decides, be that attacking Kroga, Lamaz, or something else, we are his guard, here to help him when he returns. Let us leave the unpleasant conversations until later when we can drink and eat while we talk.
Very well.
The conversation stopped between the men, but the women were still chatting with Verka. Gregory caught snippets, hearing that most of the conversation seemed to be about Verka's childhood. He hoped he wasn't missing too much, but as they'd arrived at the sparring grounds, he took his howry off. His ring took that away from him as his sheathed naginata came to his hand. Ragnar chuckled when his axe came to his empty hand.
Some things will never change, it seems. This doesn't count as proving yourself to me.
I didn't think it would,
Gregory said as he got into position. Bowing to Ragnar, Gregory took up his ready stance.
I am ready.
Clapping his right fist to his chest, Ragnar then faced Gregory.
I am ready as well.
Fight!
Jen called. After a few seconds, Mindy realized they were watching the fight, but Verka couldn't.
How do I even explain this?
They dance, Verka said softly. My resonance can feel them moving. My eyes might not work the way they should, but my resonance is superior to many who would be my equal in age.
Will you let me examine your eyes later?
You may, but even I can't fix them yet. It's intricate work that is quite taxing on one's aether. The only thing that would help is a liquid made from some very rare plants. It takes a grandmaster alchemist to create the right balance.
Mindy's eyes widened as she knew the answer. Light Shield had known about Verka. Gregory had a special medicine in his bag for just this. None of them had known what the medicine would be used for when he got it, but Light Shield's note said they would understand in Kroga.
Your breathing picked up and your hand twitched on mine, Verka said gently. You know the medicine I speak of?
Yes, I do. Let's wait for them to finish.
Verka's lips twitched, but she stayed quiet. She'd felt everyone around her when she'd spoken about the medicine. All of Gregory's wives knew about what she'd mentioned. That gave her hope that she wouldn't have to wait decades before she could see. She turned her focus to her brother and soulmate sparring. The two of them would never grow out of the need to train. Gregory didn't use foresight, which had him on his back foot against Ragnar. The bigger, stronger man was also being passively enhanced by his magic. That alone would have been fine, but Ragnar was also an arms master of the axe. With their skill being equal, Ragnar held an edge over Gregory. Gregory just focused and fought with everything he had. While it was just a spar, it was rare for him to be pushed so much, and he'd get everything he could out of it. Ragnar's grin was wide while he fought Gregory. He could instinctually feel he had the upper hand in the fight. Few people could match him in skill with a weapon, and even fewer had managed it after he'd started growing back into his former self. As his power grew, the people who could push him dwindled to be almost non-existent when it came to weapons alone. Normally, he only found a real fight when Aether was being used. That was why he'd loved the festival when both Gregory and Jen had fought him. When he'd realized who Gregory was, his joy had soared. He'd tempered that joy with the fact that his brother-in-law didn't remember their past like he did. He didn't know why Gregory didn't remember, but he would soon enough, later, after their fight.
Oh, it's been so long, Verka whispered.
Since he's had a worthy opponent?
Yukiko asked to deflect what she thought was the real reason.
Yes, Verka said. My brother has never found his equal until he fought your husband. If they were both the same age and power, Gregory might have won during the festival. How that would shake the country. A magi being the one who set the tone for raids. She snickered. Some would surely collapse at the shock of it.
I find it hard to think Gregory would raid at all,
Clover said.
He would, Jen said. No raids at all would be a disservice to Kroga.
He would have led a few small raids, but aimed at Lamaze, likely. He would be seen as a traitor if he raided the Empire,
Yukiko said.
He would try to honor tradition as much as he could.
I'm sad that you are all from the Empire, Verka sighed. Lamaze, Kroga, or anywhere else would have been better for all of us.
We should hold off on saying more for now,
Roshana said.
I'm sure Greg would like to add to the conversation.
Of course. My brother is slowly taking the lead against Gregory. I can feel it, so you should be able to see it.
I do, Jen sighed. Once Greg really connects with his dual affinity, it'll be easier for him.
I was surprised to hear that your husband only had foresight. Apparently my brother forced him to have a second affinity as well.
There's a story from Greg's age day about him using physical enhancement, Ling murmured. It would explain why he didn't connect to it the way he should have. The books on late dual affinities have helped us see the why of it.
Trauma, Verka said. It's normally trauma if someone has suppressed one of their affinities.
Yes, he still has scars from it,
Mindy said.
I'm sure— Greg!
Jen started, then shouted in fear. Gregory was being pushed back bit by bit, but he refused to give in. Both he and Ragnar were grinning like madmen as they fought. He could feel his aether trickling through his channels like Jen had told him hers did. Acclimating to physical enhancement would take time, but he could feel it. None of that helped when his foot found a depression in the yard. It was only a couple of inches, but that plus Ragnar's last attack pushed him off balance. He tried to regain his footing, but he was out of position as Ragnar's covered axe came screaming back at him. Ragnar loved every moment of the fight. How he wished they could go all out again, but he accepted that it would cause more problems than it was worth just for his enjoyment. He didn't expect Gregory to fall away like he suddenly did, and his axe was already arcing in for the follow-up from his previous attack. He started to twist and pull the axe away, but before he could, his weapon struck a barrier. Stumbling backward, he exhaled in relief.
"That's enough!" Furka cried out. "The ground might need to be seen, too."
The horror of seeing the axe descending at Gregory had clutched his wife's hearts. Jen had jumped to her feet, but then a barrier appeared to stop the attack. When Furka spoke, all six of the women around her turned to stare at her.
"Oh, thank you, sister,"
Ragnar exhaled.
"I wouldn't let an accident cause trouble," Furka smiled. "And yes, to answer your questions, Magi, I can use force magic and healing."
Gregory straightened, letting his naginata go back into his ring. Donning his howry, he bowed to Ragnar.
"The spar is yours."
Ragnar's axe vanished as he clapped his right fist to his chest.
"If not for the misstep, I'd still have won."
"You would have," Gregory nodded. "One day I'll be your equal, but not today. Shall we retire inside for refreshments and conversation?"
"Yes, that would be good."
Chapter 12. Ragnar and Furka got some stares as they followed the Magi. It was one thing to be told that there would be guests, but it was another thing entirely to have two mobile walls in the embassy. When they reached the staff quarters, Ragnar's brow furrowed in confusion, but he didn't say anything. The room had been prepared ahead of time for them. 9 chairs, 2 of which were robust enough to handle the brother and sister, sat across a table where finger foods were laid out. As everyone sat down, Gregory found himself across from the visitors. Jen sat on Ragnar's side, and Yukiko was next to Furka.
"We have a few different teas,"
Yukiko said.
"Apple, green, or simple black."
"Or we can offer a small keg of rosam wine," Jen added.
"With those choices, I choose the black tea,"
Ragnar said.
"The rosam wine sounds good to me,"
Furka said. As drinks were distributed, Gregory poured 2 small glasses and set one in front of Ragnar.
"Akavit, we didn't get to properly celebrate our fight in the arena."
"That I will drink too,"
Ragnar said, picking up the glass and holding it out.
"To meeting again."
Gregory had his resonance out to the walls and aether sight scanning as he raised his glass.
"To family being reunited."
Ragnar's eyebrow went up, but he took a sip.
"You think we're safe enough to talk?"
The question was mild when he set the drink down.
"I'm keeping my awareness out," Gregory said.
"Very well, brother."
"Oh, it's so good that we're all here again,"
Furka sighed happily.
"Greg, before we get too involved,"
Mindy said, cutting into the conversation,
"I need the medicine Light Shield left us."
Gregory looked at her confusedly for a moment before he summoned the small vial of liquid to hand.
"This? Oh!"
Mindy took it from him, then got up.
"Furka, may I assist you?"
Furka's sightless eyes blinked as she oriented on Mindy's voice.
You couldn't have it already. Aether, did you know?"
Her head turned back to Gregory.
"Not me,"
Gregory said softly.
"The previous head of my clan, Elder Linus Lightshield, was a foresight magi. He did as much as he could for me. That vial of medicine was one of the things he left behind. It had a note saying that we would understand when we arrived in Kroga."
Foresight was always your favorite magic,"
Ragnar chuckled. Furka turned her face up to the ceiling.
I would be grateful, Mindy."
"I'll have to cover your eyes once the medicine is on them."
"It's okay. I know the steps needed. While it works, I will tend to them."
"I was curious, if it's not too rude to ask,
Clover started.
Do gods get to choose their life when they're reborn?
Ragnar snorted.
No, but we've always known we'd be brother and sister.
It was something we wondered about, Ling said. The fact that Krog and Vera were again brother and sister seemed highly improbable.
No more than all of you being here again with him, Verka said. Connected souls call out to each other. For my brother and I, it was always going to be as it is, and will be when we die again.
Were there other lives before Krog and Vera?
Roshana asked.
At least one, Ragnar said. But those memories are muddled and jumbled at best, and fading into nothing for most of them.
Only our last lives are clear. There might have been more, but more than one isn't certain, Verka said.
She held still while Mindy dripped the medicine into her eyes.
I don't even have that, Gregory sighed.
Yes, which is concerning, Ragnar said. You shouldn't have trouble recalling your last life.
Yeah, I think darkness is holding them back, Gregory said.
Darkness? Verka asked.
Oh, okay, this is a story all by itself. Let's see if I can shorten it. Before I died as Aether, I created a being made of my Aether flame and a core of Ryuite. She's been waiting for me to come back, and has been helping me not draw attention that I'm reborn. However, she said I gave her instructions about what to do, and until I can claim her, she's to follow those old orders.
You did it? Verka exhaled in wonder. A new life made of your flame. You were uncertain it would work, and kept putting it off. My death. You did it after my death. Oh, Aether. I'm sorry.
I don't know of this being,
Ragnar said slowly, taking another sip of the akavit.
Was it after our fight in the south?
Gregory frowned, but he felt his Aether flame pulse once gently.
Yes, I'm sure it was. I created her, then continued to go on until all my wives passed away. Once they had, I finally...
Ugh!
Gregory groaned as pain crashed into him.
Brother?
Ragnar asked, starting to rise. Gregory held out a hand, as the pain was already ebbing.
Oh, a memory I can't grasp yet. Darkness said she couldn't tell me about my death until later.
Hold still while I bandage you,
Mindy told Verka, who'd started to turn at Gregory's cry of pain.
Sorry. I hear him cry out, and I want to soothe him, Verka said softly.
Do you remember your death, Ragnar? Jen asked.
Yes. I gave up on living,
Ragnar said softly.
My sister was gone, and I'd just tried to kill my brother.
He tipped his drink toward Gregory slightly before finishing it.
When I got back here, I carved my message, then sat down to think. In the end, I went to see Mortum. He eased me on my way.
I'm curious how you died, Verka,
Jen asked.
Assassination, I believe, Verka sighed. I was on my way to see Mortum and the Traveler. They were in the place known as Lamoz today. It was far from the mostly barren sands it is now. I was riding with two friends, and then I was becoming aware of this new life.
All I know is she came to me and told me that she died.
Ragnar sighed.
I gave in to my anger that day.
All done,
Mindy said when she finished wrapping Verka's head.
Thank you, Mindy.
This conversation has been far different than I expected,
Ling said softly.
Yes, but it's been very informative.
Yukiko smiled, then placed her hand on Verka's knee.
Tell me, Verka, do you mind that we've already married him, and that he has more waiting for him?
Verka laughed, a bright smile coming to her features. Even with her eyes firmly wrapped in cloth, it didn't detract from her beauty.
No, not at all. I'm very happy that he found so many of you already. I thought I would have to convince him all over again, Imagine my surprise when my brother came to me after the festival and told me Aether was back and already had half a dozen wives.
She was giddy all night,
Ragnar said with a shrug. Picking up an Aether skewer, he nibbled it.
If I hadn't needed to deal with the council and high priest, we'd have come calling earlier in the week. That might have caused problems with the other ambassadors if we had, though.
I was patient,
Furka sniffed, lifting her chin.
You ask me every day, multiple times a day, when we would come,
Ragnar muttered.
Yes, well, that was patient. I didn't just come over on my own.
We'd have welcomed you,
Yukiko said.
Though we've all felt a little trepidation over how you would react to us.
Furka's much larger hand covered Yukiko's.
You are the one guiding them, yes?
I am Gregory's first wife. And yes, I am the one who's been helping guide the family.
Furka lifted Yukiko's hand, kissing her fingertips.
Thank you. You were the one who helped him see that more love is better this time. You must be worried about me trying to wrest this family from you.
Yukiko hesitated, then exhaled.
It's crossed my mind.
What must I do to join your family, Yuki?
Furka asked gently.
I would not ask for special treatment. I'll do as all the others have done. I might be Vera reborn, but I'll always be respectful of the love that has come before.
Oh, first is resonance,
Clover blurted out.
We have to share our resonances with each other.
I don't mind telling you what my resonance has shown me. Is that all?
We have to do a tea ceremony,
Roshana went on.
Oh, those are always pleasant. Maybe I will see a glimpse of us in the years ahead.
There's the consideration of it causing problems for the family, too,
Yukiko added.
Your brother is going to be raiding the Empire. Having you marry into the family while that happens, it won't look good for us.
Furka sighed. She squeezed Yukiko's hand, which had gone back to Furka's thigh.
Yes. None of us has returned to our former glory yet. It's problematic for our husband, as he has that pest who has subverted his teachings.
I'll be dealing with him in time, Ragnar grunted. It's disgusting to see Magi in war.
The Irtik being slaves bothers me more, Gregory said. Since I don't have my memories, I can't say how strongly I felt about Magi and war, but I can say the way the Empire treats other races, especially Yurtik, twists my stomach.
Because you've always believed in cooperation and respect, Furka said. What Toja has done is subvert practically all of your teachings. From what I've gathered, the knowledge of what you would want has been all but erased in the Empire, too.
The young Magi aren't allowed certain texts,
Ling said stiffly.
They keep us in the dark about many things.
It's easier to control the ignorant. That will never change.
To step back to an earlier topic,
Ragnar said, having finished his snack.
Greg will have to beat me in the arena to marry my sister. I haven't changed my mind on that point.
Brother,
Furka said softly, but with a hint of anger.
Don't do this.
Wait, Gregory cut in. What he's suggesting is for the best, Furka. I'd rather take some time to get to know you. I'll face him at the next festival. Before that day comes, please visit us often and let us sit and chat. My wives would likely feel better if you did too.
I'd like to get to know you better,
Roshana said.
This you, that is, not the one from before. We might be reborn, but we've all discovered that we've changed some. That's true, Furka smiled softly. I never had force magic before. My healing magic is still with me, and I'd love to spend time with Mindy especially. I can show you better ways to heal. I've been holding back on sharing that knowledge, as it might have made it obvious who I was. If we discover things together, it'll muddy the waters and maybe bring more honor to our family.
Yes, please,
Mindy said quickly.
Oh, we can arrange days out, too, with you acting as a guide for us,
Yukiko said slowly.
Goodwill between the embassy and the High Champion's family? That would be good for all of us.
As long as I get to spar with Gregory, then I will approve of this slower approach. He must still prove himself worthy of her hand, which means making me yield,
Ragnar said firmly.
I'd rather marry you all today and lose myself in the love I can feel from all of you, but I will do as needed.
Seeing the massive woman pout was adorable.
We do what we must to keep our hearts safe,
Yukiko said softly.
I think we'd move much faster otherwise.
Gregory suddenly felt multiple aethers touch his resonance, so he held up a hand. He spotted several points of shadow that had thickened with aether.
Thank you both for coming over today. I'm sorry for this small room, but ours needed to be cleaned. It would have been taken care of if we'd known of your visit. Verka, my wives would love to talk more about Kroga. Maybe you can show them around when you're able to. Ragnar, we'll definitely have more spars, preferably ones where I don't trip.
Everyone sat up at Gregory's signal. Then two resonances pushed out to match Gregory's before retreating quickly. Ragnar sighed as he stood up.
Yes, of course. I should have considered warning you ahead of time.
Verka stood when Ragnar did, taking his elbow.
Ladies, it was a pleasure to meet you all. I'll make sure you're well informed of when I can come speak with you again. Gregory, your wives are delightful, intelligent, wonderful women. You have a family that will last until the end of time. Thank you for having us over.
Chapter 13. The family as a whole showed their visitors out. Yukiko led the way, giving Verka hugs while the two men waited. Gregory was amused, as all of his wives were so much shorter than Verka. When the brother and sister left, the family turned to find Hans coming their way.
Excuse me,
Hans said when he approached them.
The ambassador is requesting you all go to her office.
We'll go right now, Hans,
Gregory said. Hans saluted, then took off at a fast walk to return to his page posting from a car.
I didn't see this, but everything about their meeting was jumbled,
Gregory sighed.
Having a high champion and a priest of Krog in the embassy would require her to ask about it,
Roshana said.
She needs documentation to protect all of us,
Yukiko nodded.
I thought she would just ask for a report later.
Maybe it was because of the multiple people using Aether to find us,
Gregory murmured.
I'll have my enchantment done before Verka comes back,
Ling said.
You haven't told us what it'll do,
Clover said.
It'll play light music outside the sphere and muffle the sounds within it,
Ling said.
It will eat cores quickly when in use, but even a few minutes of secure conversation should be worth that.
I have plenty of spare cores,
Gregory said.
I'm still finishing it, or else I'd have brought it with me today. 2 or 3 days, and I'll have the first iteration complete.
They'd been walking as they talked, not about to keep Rudit waiting for them. Conversation lapsed as they got closer to their destination. Makar stood up when they came into the office.
She's waiting. Go on in.
Gregory caught the formality and dipped his head.
Thank you.
Rudit was seated at her desk when they came in. She looked up for a moment, then went back to the paperwork. There were no chairs across from her, so the family stood in a row waiting for her. The touch of aether on his resonance had Gregory idly look around the room, picking out the wind and shadow magic at work to listen in. Rudit kept them standing there waiting for 5 minutes. If one of them shifted, she would glance up with disapproval, then go back to work. Clover looked worried, but Ling took her hand, giving it a squeeze to calm her. Finally, setting her pen down, Rudit sat back, looking at the family with a frown.
Petits, you've done good work for the embassy. We've had good relations with Kroga for the first time in decades. I have lauded your work in reports, yet today we had uninvited guests and you didn't inform me.
Her eye twitched when she looked at Gregory.
Moreover, you not only fought the High Champion again in our yard, you then secluded them in substandard rooms to talk with them. Do you want to cause an incident with the Krogheim Council?
Ambassador,
Yukiko said,
we apologize. It was a surprise to us as well. If we hadn't been taking a walk in the gardens before work, we'd have never known the pair had even arrived. I will point out that High Champion Iverson was the one who requested a friendly spar with Gregory, having been impressed with their clash at the festival.
Hmm. I see. That does mitigate things on that count, at least.
As for where we had them for tea, we apologize. Each of us had work out in our offices, and our room was in need of cleaning. We commandeered the staff room, as it was neat and orderly. As for not informing you, that I will take on my shoulders. I was going to do so, but when Gregory and Iverson fought, it was chased out of my mind by the display of martial excellence.
I see. Very well, Yukiko. I will reprimand you in the next report. If they visit again, you are to bring them to meet me. It's unseemly to have guests and not at least say hello. I'm sure other embassies will be very interested in the fact they came here. The High Council definitely will be. What if we struck down their High Champion in an accident? It would not only cause war between our nations, but it would rob them of the man who was to lead their raids this year.
I apologize for not considering that, Ambassador, Gregory said, bowing to her.
Very good. All of you but Gregory are dismissed. The six women bowed before filing out of the office.
Gregory stood ramrod straight, waiting for the debriefing to continue. When the door closed, Rudit exhaled, then shook her head.
I am disappointed, Gregory. An event like this should have been brought to my attention.
Gregory was using foresight as he bowed his head to her. The future was clear and bright to him now.
I apologize, Ambassador. My wives kept me from looking ahead today, as I told you this morning. I'll do better in the future.
Rudit's lips pursed, and her resonance hit the room like a bomb with how fast and forcefully she deployed it. She quickly had the enchantment to prevent spies up and running a moment later. With a snort, she sat back and gave Gregory a small shrug.
That was an impressive bit of theater on behalf of your family.
Gregory relaxed slightly, even with her resonance still flooding the room strongly.
Thank you.
You didn't tell me that we'd have so many Aether users trying to spy on the embassy today.
I did warn you about how hard it is to see the future around Ragnar. I barely had things fully clear up when you sent my wives away. That let me at least follow my resonance to the best path for now.
Push your foresight. What comes of this?
Gregory did as she asked, looking for any repercussions from today. His aether drained away before he used his ring to pick up the slack. After an unknown time, he exhaled roughly, letting go of foresight. He leaned forward to use the desk for support for a moment.
Stenson will come by tomorrow to talk to you. He brings up the issue of propriety and possible accidents, too. You two agree that Ragnar and Verka can visit again if I or my wives speak with the Council. That way it's a fair trade of information and a show of faith both ways. That will lead to the other embassies looking to do the same. In a few months, I'll be sitting with Stenson, you, and every other ambassador but Shinner. The topic is the raids in the Empire that have started at that point.
Rudit exhaled slowly.
Okay, we can work with this. Not Shinner?
He declined,
Gregory said.
I wonder if your ploy to get information from him worked or not. You need to start that as well.
Yes, ma'am,
Rudit sighed.
I was just getting used to knowing the future all the time, but 12 Aether users was too much to try passing off as acceptable. Anyone advanced on the spirit path would have felt them. Half of them were spiritually blind.
I'll do my best to always keep you informed on everything, Rudit. But where Ragnar is concerned, the future is in flux.
Very well. Act reprimanded and go about your day, Rudit said. And Gregory, later tonight, do pass my thanks to Yukiko for understanding and acting as she needed to.
Gregory bowed to her.
I will. Yuki's always the one who understands first.
Rudit disconnected the enchantment.
Dismissed.
Yes, ma'am.
Gregory bowed deeply, then left the room. Makara looked up when Gregory left Rudit's office.
Is everything okay, Gregory?
Gregory's resonance was extended, but no one was touching on it.
Theater for the Watchers.
I see. That makes me breathe easier.
Have a good day, Makara.
You too, Gregory.
It was later that evening, after retiring to their rooms, that Gregory explained what Rudit had done. They agreed with Rudit, as Yukiko had been quick to understand and assist in the deception.
"I'll always do my best for the family,"
Yukiko smiled at them.
"That many people using Aether to find us is excessive. It had to be every other embassy plus several others. Ling's enchantment will be very important if we're going to have conversations when Greg isn't here to spot people listening."
"Even with me, it can help us to only share information with others we trust."
Everyone fell silent for a moment, but Clover broke it soon enough.
"I like her!"
"Vaka exudes a warmth that I enjoy,"
Ling nodded.
"Agreed,"
Roshana said.
"I'd know her as one of us even if she hadn't come with her brother." "It was very pronounced to me, too,"
Mindy smiled.
"I look forward to discussing healing with her."
"I'm glad she bowed her head to Yuki," Jen said softly. "That was one of my biggest fears."
"Mine, too,"
Yukiko exhaled with a shaky smile.
"I was relieved when she asked to join us like she did. We'll do as we have for all of you and our friends. There's no telling when we'll hear her resonance, but she is Spirit Path already."
"Very powerful, too," Ling murmured. "Both her and Ragnar. When they pushed out briefly, I felt them press in on me."
"I was surprised that Ragnar was,"
Clover said.
"Maybe it's a peaceful fist."
Gregory blinked as memory slammed into him. It was brief, but it was Aether, Krog, and Vera all doing the peaceful fist, or some kind of variation of it. When they finished, they sat down to work on a puzzle that was similar to Armsmaster Squares, but far larger in scope.
"Greg?"
Yukiko asked, taking his hand.
"We've walked all three paths before,"
Gregory said slowly.
"I had a memory of it. We have to broach it with them, but only when absolutely safe."
"It's been a long day,"
Yukiko said softly. She stood up, pulling him up with her.
"We should retire for the night."
Gregory smiled, then scooped her up to Princess carry her.
"I agree, my heart. Ladies, we should thank our heart for everything she does for us. I think I'll take the lead tonight, Yuki. You'll just have to accept all our love for you."
Yuki pressed her face into his chest, inhaling deeply to drink in his scent.
"As my soul wishes. Your love is all that matters to me, and to be showered in your love and affection is a joy. To have our wives join you in that might burst my heart, but I will gladly endure it."
"Ooh, can we tie her to me?"
Roshana asked.
"I'd love to be bound to our wife."
"And then we'll cuddle her all night,"
Ling purred. Jen laughed as she led the way. "I'm sure Greg will allow us all to shower her with affection in the ways we each desire most."
"I will,"
Gregory agreed, then kissed Yukiko's head.
"All the love for our first wife."
Chapter 14. They had a few days of normalcy. High Priest Stenson came by the day after Ragnar's visit. As Gregory had predicted, he approved the High Champion and his priestly sister visiting the embassy, but only if Gregory's family would come to speak with the council periodically. That's why Gregory and Roshana were in the embassy carriage rolling through the city. Today was the first day the Pettits would speak with the council. As Roshana still needed approval to practice her magic in the harbor, Gregory asked her to come with him.
"I'm glad Jen will be okay today,"
Roshana said, snuggled up with Gregory.
"Erica gets the worst of it," Gregory said. "But Mindy and Lita get her healed up just fine. Jen will be happy when we get back. She and Erica are thrilled to fight each other."
"Speed instead of strength,"
Roshana murmured.
"It'll be good training for Jen."
"It is. It's also training for Erica. I know it's a good thing for her, but it's bad for the Empire."
"Like you and Ragnar?"
"A little bit."
"Mindy helping Lita heal wouldn't be seen negatively at all."
"No one complains if healers are better at their magic. Lita might be Krogian, but she might also patch up ours if they were taken in battle. Healers aren't killed unless they take up arms. Accidents happen, but the histories where healers were deliberately killed, those commanders are never well received in any nation,"
Gregory said.
"It's why the heart emblem is important on medical tents in war."
"I hope Mindy never sees war," but she will.
We all will eventually, Gregory murmured. If not with another nation.
He trailed off.
Yes,
Roshana whispered, understanding what he'd left unsaid. Gregory reached up to gently stroke Roshana's ears.
How are you, my heart?
Good, my soul. Every day with all of us together is a blessing I treasure. I'll be happy to start training my magic in earnest when the council agrees. I feel like I'm the one falling behind.
Because everyone else has easier ways to train. You've done what you could at the embassy, but it's not stretching your skill.
Exactly. Salt water will help there. I've had very little practice on it, besides the simple remove the salt training they had us do in the academy.
I remember that,
Gregory chuckled, thinking back to the first few weeks in the academy.
Starting fires, keeping a leaf in the air, and Yuki manipulating shadows.
You took notes. Yuki told us about it, including the time you nearly got burned.
I don't even remember the... Mawik. I believe that was her name. I forgot about her trying to hurt me. She's Eternal Flame, so it's not too surprising when I look back at it.
And when Petek tried to hit you and got the instructor instead?
Roshana said.
I haven't thought about him in years, Gregory murmured. So many times things could have gone so badly.
Most of them because of the Eternal Flame.
Yeah, animosity seems to be what their clan is based on.
Especially when it comes to you.
Gregory couldn't refute that. They lapsed into silence for a moment, which worked out as the carriage slowed. When it stopped fully a moment later, the Magi guard with it got the door open for them. Gregory thanked him before he turned and helped Roshana out. The longhouse looked like all the ones he'd seen on his way to the capital. It was amusing in its own way that Krog's house looked so unassuming, even banded by Aether's magic to keep it standing for eons. The two huskarls on the doors gave them nods, and one of them slipped inside briefly. A moment later, he invited them to enter and let them go past. The interior was like the other few he'd been inside of. It was a single, open room with a long table and seats for the council. Across from them were another couple of seats that had been missing in other towns. The biggest change was the glowing stones illuminating the interior of the structure.
"They've illuminated the room since Aether and Krog sat here ages past,"
Stenson said, having seen Gregory's expression.
"You are the first Magi in decades to be invited inside the Hall of Krogheim. Please sit."
Gregory led Roshana to the table, but they bowed before taking the offered seats.
"We are honored to be here, High Priest."
"Thank you for inviting us, Council,"
Roshana added.
"We wanted to continue the exchange of trust that your clan has started,"
Stenson said.
"Before we delve into the many questions and concerns that we have, would you like to speak on a topic or ask any questions?"
"I have a simple request,"
Roshana said.
"I am a water magi, and I've had difficulty continuing to expand my magic at the embassy. It's my hope that you would allow me to visit the harbor and practice there."
"I am also touched by water,"
Priest Astrid Daughter said.
"I understand how difficult it can be to stretch yourself to grow. We allow our younger priests to work on their control of water on the far edge of the harbor. If my fellow council members approve, I'd escort you the first time. If no troubles arise, we will allow you to continue to train with them."
The other six members of the council took a quick survey before agreeing to the request.
"Roshana Petit will be allowed to join the younger priests. I'm sure your ambassador will feel better if you have some guards around you, but only a single squad may accompany you. Is that acceptable?"
"It is. Thank you, ma'am. I am honored to be allowed to train with your priests."
"What of you, Gregory?"
Stenson asked.
Nothing at the moment, sir."
"Very well. Elder Petrickson, you wish to start?" "Thank you, Stenson."
The least warm of the council focused on Gregory.
"There were hints of your past postings spoken of during the festival. I want to hear more of it."
"Of course, sir," Gregory said. "I'll start at the beginning."
"A year of no slaves," Elder Anna Daughter said softly. "You did good things that year."
"I did exactly what the law stated," Gregory said. As I told you, when the laws were followed, I stood back.
Which anyone with intelligence can see the truth of,
Elder Lilydaughter said, her lynx ears twitching.
But those with bias will see it differently, which is for the best.
You've spoken with all the ambassadors since the festival about this?
Priest Sifdaughter asked.
No, ma'am, Gregory said. Ambassador Shinner has not asked to speak with me.
He's been withdrawn since the incident at his embassy and the festival,
Priest Haraldson snorted.
I still recall finding you both in the hall. Are you sure he didn't break decorum at that point?
Gregory knew he could use this to help with Shinner later, so he gave the diplomatic answer.
No, he had a simple question for me. It wasn't business.
He was very biased against you and your family during the festival,
Stenson said.
The small comments, the cheers for your opponents, they all add together. You'd do well to stay away from the ambassador, Gregory. If he displeases the council or endangers the city again, he will be asked to return home.
Understood, sir.
You were there when your elder passed away, correct?
Stenson asked, changing the topic.
Yes, sir.
I would like to hear the story,
Stenson said softly.
Lightshield was a good man who saved my life when we were far younger. Tell me of his last moments, please.
That's, again, a bit of a tale to understand it all. It was during the tournament with Buldoon.
Protecting the young and choosing how he would pass,
Stenson said softly.
That was Linus. The old fool. I'd always hoped he'd join me at the next tier.
He was always respectful and kind,
Sifdaughter said sadly.
Truly a loss for any who knew him.
I recall him showing me how to fly,
Haraldson murmured.
4 decades feels like a lifetime, and also an eye blink.
The three elders who weren't priests looked a little uncomfortable at the comment, as most of them wouldn't have been adults when Haraldson had been taught by Lightshield.
I have to say, the fact that you mix your council with elders and priests is a wonderful idea,
Roshana said.
The difference in views has to be a great help.
It has been,
Stenson nodded.
Our elders have always helped remind us of how actions can affect those not Aether-blessed.
The chiming of the hour filtered into the longhouse. The evening had come while they'd talked, and it was time for the meeting to end.
It was good to hear that your clan is honorable, even away from Kroka,
Stenson said.
We thank you for coming to speak with us. As long as no incidents happen with High Champion Iverson or Priest Mohadottir, we will continue to support these exchanges.
We'll do our best not to have anything untoward happen,
Gregory said as he stood, hearing the dismissal coming. Council of Krogheim, thank you for having us here to talk. We look forward to the next invitation.
Magus Roshana, Astrodaughter said. Please come to the harbor tomorrow morning at the 9th hour.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you,
Roshana beamed.
I will make sure the ambassador approves. If she doesn't, then I will send word. Otherwise, I will be there.
The council stood up, shook hands with them, then showed them out. A few minutes later, they were in the carriage on their way back to the embassy. Roshana once again snuggled up next to Gregory.
I'm glad to have approval, but I'm disappointed they didn't ask me much,
Roshana said.
Maybe the next time you come with me, Gregory said. They'll probably ask about your family and the move to the Empire.
I was expecting them to. If they do, I'll be glad to share.
Next time I should bring one of the others with me, but I'm sure we'll keep having these talks.
Any of us would love to be there with you.
Depending on what else is happening will dictate who comes with me.
Of course,
Roshana murmured, her hand lightly rubbing his chest. His lips quivered, and he caught her hand on his chest, firmly holding her wrist. When she looked up questioningly, he kissed her. They didn't do anything beyond light, gentle kisses, but Gregory catching her arms with soft yet firm hands made her heart surge with joy. She had him all to herself, if briefly, and she reveled in it. Chapter 15. Rishana's day of training her magic at the harbor went well. Mindy's help healing people was widely accepted, meaning she was out with the men longer after the honor duels. Ling finished her enchantment, and the test they conducted seemed to work. Gregory was getting slowly acclimated to the feeling of physical enhancement with Jen's help. The most important thing that happened over the next few days was Ambassador Shinner approving Gregory to come talk with him. Gregory had explained what would happen that day to his family and Rudit. He was going to have to use foresight to his utmost to thread the pitfalls that would pop up. Shinner didn't know everything, but he had edges of information that would be useful to the Empire. When the carriage came to a halt, he stepped out once the guards opened the door. He gave the man a nod, then turned to the butler waiting for him.
Magus Gregory Pettit, I have an appointment with Ambassador Shinner. We've been expecting you, Magus. The young man with immaculate hair said as he gave a small bow.
If you will follow me.
Lead on.
Entering the embassy, Gregory was not shocked to find an ostentatious display of wealth. Every fixture was at least silver and highly polished, and the furniture was prized hardwood with silk or satin coverings. As they traversed the hallways, the most notable things were the portraits of Shinner himself in various poses. The few guards they passed shifted to the side, but gave Gregory hard looks. Gregory glanced at each, giving a small nod in passing. Not acknowledging them would only anger them, and angry men sometimes did the irrational. Entering the outer office, Gregory was surprised to see a half-Yurtic in the position. The overly endowed woman had horns on her head, making Gregory think of Nami and Nettie, the two cow Yurtics he'd rescued.
Assistant Ambassador Pettit is here.
The butler said with a hint of coldness.
I will show him in.
The secretary bowed her head, murmuring her acceptance. Gregory's lips twisted slightly before he stilled them. It was clear that the woman was more decoration than secretary for Shinner. He'd bet good money that the butler was the real assistant. He trailed the young man into Shinner's office.
Ambassador, your guest Gregory Pettit has arrived. Come in, Pettit,
Shinner said, waving him over to the desk.
Since you ran behind, I'm just finishing up this paperwork.
Gregory kept a polite smile on his face. He wasn't late at all. He'd arrived at the embassy on time, and the hour chimed as the butler had led him down the halls.
I apologize for my tardiness, Ambassador. It is rude, especially after you graciously accepted my request to talk.
Shinner's lips twitched, but he didn't speak. He hadn't expected Gregory to accept the implied insult. Most would balk at being called late when they weren't. With his opening gambit foiled, he went back to his paperwork for a good 5 minutes. Gregory smiled politely, not shifting or making noise, again just accepting the insult of being ignored. Finally setting his pen aside, Shinner looked up.
Tea for two, Alberet.
Yes, sir.
The butler said, bowing low before leaving.
Pettit, I was surprised to get a request from you. What can I do for you?
I wanted to pick up on the conversation we started during the festival, sir,
Gregory said.
I've been asked questions about it by both my ambassador and High Priest Stenson.
Shinner's eyes narrowed slightly.
I see.
I've done what I could to dissuade them from thinking it was more than idle conversation.
Sitting back, Shinner steepled his fingers in front of his lips for a minute before replying.
Let's move over to the sitting area. It'll be far more comfortable for friendly discourse.
As you wish, sir,
Gregory said, giving a small bow before doing as requested.
You fought well during the festival, Pettit. It's a pity your famous undefeated streak ended.
I've carried it for years. It feels freeing to set it down.
Gregory smiled.
Jen had the proud title of being the only one to defeat me in a tournament, and now Ragnar's taken that from her.
He shook his head.
That man is a monster of power and skill.
He is a high champion,
Shinner shrugged.
They're all like that, though most are many years older than he is. Are you not worried for the Empire?
Should I be?
I'd find it hard to believe he's not going to raid your country.
I believe he will, but Kroga has always tried to take what is ours. Even if they manage it for a few decades, what does it matter? The Empire has only ever expanded, not including minor setbacks like I just mentioned.
Shinner's lips thinned slightly, but he didn't try to argue the point.
Yes, your country has a history of expansion,
Most of that seemed to end when you reached your current borders. It's the end of the Second Yotik War.
Gregory let annoyance show on his features briefly.
That's true. The elves have stopped our advance north. The one disastrous attempt at burning their forest out was not good for us. Lamaze would have fallen if not for the giant swaths of sandy nothingness that protect their major cities from our border. We're at peace with Buldoon, fostered recently by a tournament, one that the Emperor seemed to favor. Kroga has